Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John. John's Gospel is unique in that John's reason for writing is to convict and convince men and women that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, so that they can believe in his name and have the hope of eternal life. John takes a peculiar approach in that he will identify seven signs and seven miracles and seven key witnesses. They come in groups of seven, kind of the perfect number, to show that Jesus has all the evidence to be the Son of God and to be the Savior of the world. John begins on a high note in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, where the Scripture says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men." John begins by identifying Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as God in the flesh. In the beginning, and the idea is already, was the Word. And the Word, that Word which was in the beginning, was God, was with God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 following, Mary is told, "You shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." Imagine the idea, the wonderful idea, that God left the beauty of heaven. His Son came to this earth, God in the flesh, and that he lived a perfect life and died for sinful man so that we could have the hope of heaven. Nothing could illustrate this point better than the words of 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich." Jesus left the halls of heaven, out of the ivory palaces, and he came and lived as a pauper among men, not even a place to call his own, and he did that so that each one of us could go to heaven. Friend, that expresses just how much God loves me and just how much God loves you. He came to this earth to sacrifice himself so that we could go to heaven. Now, of this Word, it is then said in John 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Well, who is this Word? John identifies it as Jesus. He became flesh. Philippians 2 verse 5 tells us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery made equal with God, but he made himself, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, and he became a servant." He came in human flesh and gave his life an offering for mankind. This identifies the nature of Jesus from the human side as well. Jesus did become a man. Yes, he was God, but he was also a man. Yet being God in the flesh, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. He took upon himself human flesh so that he could be tempted and tested as we are, so that he could be a perfect high priest. Hebrews 2 verses 17 following. But as we think about Jesus Christ and what he did for us on this earth, I'm reminded of the words of John 1 verse 17. The Scripture says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." What did Jesus do in coming to this earth? Well, we know he gave himself as a sacrifice, but the law, it came through Moses. The Ten Commandments, the code of law that you find in the Old Testament. What did Jesus bring? Jesus brought grace and truth. The grace of God that brings eternal life has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and selfish lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. The grace that Jesus Christ brought is embodied in his sacrifice and his death and all the good that he did in this life. But you know, Jesus also brought truth. And oh, how important that truth is to man. In John 8:32, the Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is that truth which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Psalm 119, verse 105. And Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. In coming to this world, Jesus not only brought grace, he brought truth, which makes us right with God, which brings us together with the Father and saves man's soul. I love the beautiful words of Proverbs 23, verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. No matter what price truth is to you, I can guarantee you got it dirt cheap. The truth is what saves man's soul from eternal condemnation. But as you think about Jesus and his ministry, remember that John the Baptist had been preparing the way for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His whole ministry was about getting the people ready so that when Jesus came on the scene, everything would be set for him to preach the gospel of the kingdom and bring salvation to mankind. John now sees Jesus approaching, and listen to the beautiful words of John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Can't you hear the passion and the excitement in John's voice? He's been preparing the way. He's been working toward this ultimate goal. And here comes Jesus, and he identifies him as that spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Unlike those Old Testament lambs, who according to Hebrews 10 verses 3 and 4 could never really take away sin, Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says of God, "He made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him." Because Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4:15, because He committed no sin, nor was guile found in His mouth, 1 Peter 2:22, He became that perfect, spotless sacrifice, that Lamb of God, whose life truly can take away the sins of the world. But as you think about Jesus and all that He did for mankind, think about what He had to suffer as well. Jesus went through life a perfect example, but it wasn't without temptation. In Matthew chapter 4, the devil tempted Him with the best of his arsenal, and yet Jesus overcame. He was tempted along the way of life. At times He was tried and tested even by His own disciples' lack of faith, and yet Jesus still overcame the temptation. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 12, of the Lord and Savior, He was tempted, not only as we are, but as being tempted, He Himself became that great sacrifice. This man, Jesus, after He'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You see, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And Jesus made that perfect offering for each and every one of us to have the hope of heaven. Now, in John chapter 1, as Jesus begins His ministry, He begins to call His disciples. And some very interesting things happen. In John chapter 1, verse 43, the Bible says, "The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and He found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' And Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.'" These men even have their own questions, but they realize Jesus is the one whom Moses and the prophets spoke of. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and Deuteronomy chapter 22, they spoke of that great prophet who would come after Moses, who would bring salvation to the people. They realized that was Jesus, the Son of God, and how excited they were about the mission that He was going to start. They realize He is the Son of God, for Nathanael says in John 1, verse 49, "Rabbi, You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." How we need to recognize today that Jesus is God's Son and that He is the only way of salvation. Like those Jesus came in contact with in this chapter, we need to recognize the deity of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8, Philip is teaching the Ethiopian nobleman the gospel, and he's reading the scriptures already in Isaiah 53, and Philip gets up in the chariot with him, and he begins at that point to teach him about Jesus as the Son of God. If a person is going to obey the gospel today, they must hear the word of God. Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, what's it mean to hear the word of God? It means we must recognize God's word as the only authority in all matters concerning salvation. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And then he said, you go make disciples of all nations. God's word is all that matters on salvation. For Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day. John 12 and verse 48. Then as Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch are traveling down the road, he begins to teach him about Jesus, and no doubt he believes in him. For a person to be saved, he must also believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, we're told, unless you believe that I am He, Jesus said, you will surely die in your sins. Then we learn that a person must also repent to be saved. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, Peter preached, repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Also, a person must make the good confession to be saved. Again, in Acts chapter 8, as they're traveling down the road, Philip is teaching him the gospel. They come to a certain water. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And do you remember what Philip said? If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But a person must also not only hear the word, believe in Jesus, repent of sin, and confess his name, a person must be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Baptism is essential to salvation. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. Peter taught in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. In Acts chapter 9, Saul is confronted by Jesus on the road to Damascus, and the Lord tells him, you go in the city and be told you what you must do. Well, what was that must? We learn what it was in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Ananias comes to Saul and says, Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. A lot of people say that all you've got to do to be saved is call on the name of the Lord. What does it really mean biblically to call on the name of the Lord? Acts 22:16 tells us, you've got to get up and obey God, and that means being baptized for the remission of your sins so that your sins can be washed away. Friend, do you really believe today that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you want to have eternal life? Then if so, you've got to do what they did. You've got to recognize Jesus is God in the flesh. You've got to realize that He is that great Lamb of God, and you've got to respond in obedience to the gospel just as they did in the first century. Friend, we're hoping today that you will accept Jesus' teaching, that you will recognize Him as the Savior, and that more than anything, you'll submit to His will, you'll obey the gospel, so that just like they did in the first century, you can have the hope of eternal life. We're praying, we're hoping today that you'll obey the gospel of Christ before it's too late.